What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everybody. It's Jesterday today, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Woohoo, Jester. Woohoo.
I'm doing my happy dance. So when we first started out doing these reviews of each of the archetypes, we started out with your favorite, the Outlaw. But we're finally winding down and getting down to my favorite, the Jester archetype. Woohoo. So, when you think about archetypes, you know, and I don't know about you, but I was asked numerous times over the course of the last, decade and a half. So which is your favorite? It's kind of like as a parent, if you had 12 kids and someone asked you, which is your favorite, right?
Yeah.
The obvious answer is, of course, the Jester archetype.
Right, for Jester. You, yes. Absolutely.
Right. Well, no, not that I'm going to have really a favorite, but it is the one that I'm drawn to. But
When my kids ask me who my favorite is, I always say, Dad is my favorite.
Favorite child? Yes. Yeah. I can see that. So, yeah, my two sons and my three stepsons, they've asked me that as well. And, I let them know each one of them is my favorite. Wink, wink. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, right. No, but of all the archetypes, because I was drawn immediately to it way back when, and I've embraced it, and I've been the owner of two Jester agencies and two or three other Jester companies. Yeah, I just love this archetype. I love what it does for the company. I love how much more fun the marketing is. So anyway, we have a lot to cover today, and before we take a deep dive, why don't you give us a little chat about the sub-archetypes, because we do have a couple of those in this one.
Sure thing. Yeah, the Jester is one of those archetypes that we can split up into some sub-archetypes. And interestingly, it's one of the archetypes where the sub-archetypes are quite a bit different from each other. Yeah, so for example, in the Mother, there's not a big difference between the focus on the caring sub-archetype, which is the Mother, and the healing part, which would be like the Doctor. And right. In the Hero, there's not a huge difference between seeking out justice, which is the Detective, and avenging wrongs, which, would be like the Avenger. But in the Jester, the two sub-archetypes are linked, but quite different. So in the first one, we have the clown sub-archetype, which is focused on clean, wholesome, fun, family fun, dad jokes,
like
that kind of
Disney.
Stuff. Disney. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Yeah. And the second is the Jester sub-archetype, which is focused on more like wild, wacky, unpredictable craziness. So a lot more brash and bold. Sure. So, yeah, because of this, the bigger difference, we need to be careful when we talk about the archetype as a whole, because our approach might be dramatically different or change depending on, which sub-archetype we're choosing or talking about. So, for example, the Jester has quite a bit higher energy level than the clown. Both are mm-hmm. high, but the Jester pegs the energy O-meter way higher, like an 11.
yeah, at least an 11, right. Maybe sometimes a 12.
Right, yeah. Sure.
Right. Yeah, so definitely I have gravitated personally towards the Jester sub archetype.
Oh, for sure. And it's not just like you pick it for your business. I mean, Kevin, you live this archetype. It's your personality, for sure.
Yeah, if I'm not having fun on any given day, it's an off day.
Right.
So, yeah. love to laugh. Okay, so probably the most important thing that we can ever say about archetypes, all archetypes, is that a person needs to when they make this go through this process of adopting the new idea, they need to embrace the idea. If you can't embrace this idea, if you can't focus on a single idea for the sake of strengthening and growing your brand, then this is going to, any strategy is going to fail if you're not able to do that, right? So it's super important, super, super, super important. And for a lot of business owners, the big idea is to move away from your old ways and to really zero in on this really focused approach, right? But with the jester, this becomes even more challenging. It becomes even more important. And the reason is the jester, for people who are newly adopting it, kind of feels like you're making a mistake sometimes, like you're going a little bit too far. You're gonna go over the top, and you're gonna start offending people. You're stepping out over the line, or you're taking risky strategies that are gonna be off-putting to people, right? All of this stuff will seep into your mind, and it's poison to your brand if you let it take hold, right? To succeed with the jester, you not only need to set aside all your old strategies, and assuming that they weren't laser focused on fun and wacky ideas, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do. But you need to fully embrace some pretty outrageous ideas, right? Especially if you're the jester sub-archetype. A little bit less so with the clown sub-archetype, but these are definitely ideas that will take you outside of your comfort zone. So there's a line that some people say that you shouldn't cross. You know, you don't want to go there. You know,
right.
People will give you words of caution, right? So we're suggesting that you not tippy-toe up to that line.
Okay. Right. So exactly.
As the consummate jester.
No sneaking around here.
No, that's right. We suggest you careen headfirst past that line, screaming like a banshee, hair on fire, wearing your pink tutu. Whoop it up like there's no tomorrow. So, do you like my pink tutu visual?
Oh, yeah. I expect to see that next Halloween, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. So, okay. The point is, that it's not just simply to be wacky for the sake of being wacky, right? That's not the point. Instead, what we're talking about today is that you need to fully embrace this idea if you're going to succeed, that you need to strategically choose wackiness as a part of building relationships, right? You know, imagine a relationship that, you know, Robin Williams would have had with people. Kind of craziness, right? Or, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, or pick a comedian, right? Chris Rock. You get these crazy kind of wacky people who are like this naturally in their personal lives. It's not just a stage act, right? When they build relationships, that wackiness is, you know, ask my wife how she feels, right?
Right. Right?
Yeah. So over a short period of time, you will very quickly see that these relationships, that the other people will see you as a source of fun and excitement and humor, and they look forward to their next interaction with you. It really, truly is still all about relationships, not about just being wacky and crazy and out of your skull, right?
Right. I think that's a really good point. And I feel like we may have covered this in the past a little bit, but we feel like we've seen a trend lately with people kind of adopting the jester, or temporarily adopting the jester for a certain campaign. And it kind of feels like they're just doing it to get people's attention, but not necessarily thinking about that long-term emotional relationship that you're really wanting to establish with people with your brand. And that goes back to that great point you just said, is that they're looking forward to their next interaction with you. So if you aren't the jester brand, but you adopt it and have this like one-off kind of thing that's funny, and then the next thing you do isn't, it's going to be weird for people, and they're not going to be quite sure what you're doing. So
will get used to what you're doing.
Right.
If you're not doing the jester all the time, and then you do something, they will think it's cute. They will think it's funny, but it's not like you're building your relationship with them on that point.
Right. Yeah. Right. And we all have those funny friends and relatives and people that we know are always going to be the source of like comedic relief and lightheartedness. and things like that, that that we go to them for that, and that's right. The kind of sentiment that you're trying to make with this archetype, for sure. So so let's talk about words, of course, right?
Oh boy, yeah. I had a feeling.
So, yeah. So the deal with the jester is pretty much anything goes, which is great. And if you're the kind of person that doesn't like to be constrained by rules or those lines that shouldn't be crossed or things like that, you know, jester is a good thing to consider. There's not a lot of rules. So, yeah. You also have to think about the energy level of everything you write. We touched on that earlier, that it's a very, very high energy archetype. And if it's not high energy, if what you're doing is not high energy, it's going to seem off brand. So, with your word selection, let's do a little comparison. So if you took the phrase tastes good or the phrase tastes fantabulous, the second one would be much more gestury, right? It's more like, I mean, it's not really a word, but that's also the thing with gestury. You can make up words. You don't have
anything
to.
Anything goes.
Yeah, right? Grammar's out the window. So another example could be you could use fast or you could use zippy. I like zippy much better. It's much more gestury. Yeah.
And that's I think that's probably one of the tricks of the jester is your word selection, super, super important. But people... other than me, I actually have had people comment, "Oh, Kevin, that is so you." Just me saying something, right. And I don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But they, in a million years, would never say what I said in the way that I just said it.
Right.
And they go out of their way to point it out. Oh, that's so you.
Yeah.
So I would use the word zippy all the time. I would much rather use the word zippy than the word fast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Because I'm a jester.
Yep. So like sentence fragments, cliches, slang, idioms, those things are all okay. Misspellings of things to be funny. Those are all, you know, totally on the table.
Right.
And then one of my favorite types of words is called an onomatopoeia, which means that the word sounds like what it is. So for example, like zoom, pow, bang, zip, whoosh, things like that. Kind of, it makes me think of the older cartoons. Yeah. With the, you know, Superman punching somebody and it's saying kerpow, you know,
right.
But all those kinds of words, that is, jester all day long.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so let me throw in a power tip to our listeners. In this idea, it's so big, it actually goes beyond archetypes, it goes beyond marketing. It's actually a life success philosophy. Wow, and you were probably wondering, life success philosophy?
It's like you're getting serious for a second, Kevin.
No. Okay, so I actually raised my two sons to think this way from the time that they were babies because I truly believe, and this was not something that was taught to me explicitly by my dad. I figured it out, but I figured it out by watching him, and he actually did this stuff with everything that he did. So, you know, so now looking at my kids, I taught them this way as adults, and they're now in their late 20s. I look at the cool things that they are doing, and they're really doing some really, really cool things, you know, like programming cybersecurity algorithms and, you know, building network architectures and stuff. They're both computer guys, right? But the things that they're doing with their side lives, not their careers, are really, really cool. And this idea is what really guided them. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
This awesome idea?
I'm ready.
Okay. So I want you to think of something in your life that was or is innovative. I'm going to throw the phrase innovative at you. So come up with something, a product or something.
How about my iPhone?
Okay. So what is your iPhone compared to what existed before the iPhone, right? Think about how different it is. So there's no buttons on it. It's a glass panel on the front, right?
Yep.
It's actually more like a computer than it is a phone. If I were to compare an iPhone to a BlackBerry, you know, what existed before that,
right?
You know, yeah, big difference. So this big idea is to mash together two or more ideas to complete to create a completely new, fresh, different idea. So mashing two ideas together is the big idea. Now that doesn't seem too monumental, but what I'm suggesting here is that for a jester archetype, you can get a lot of traction applying this idea to your marketing, right? So let's, with the expectation is that the new idea that you're going to get, it's, you know, it's fresh, it's unexpected, and especially if the two starting ideas are kind of fun to begin with. So let's take an example. So if I take two disconnected ideas, my first idea is monkeys are smart enough to be able to do things for us. Do you think that's a true statement?
Yeah.
That a monkey can be taught to do stuff?
Right? Absolutely. I wish I had a little monkey sidekick to do things for me.
That's right. No, I mean, all jesters want to have a monkey sidekick.
Yeah,
that is for sure.
For sure.
Right. Okay. The second idea is the trunk of a car can be used to store stuff. Is that true?
True. Yes.
Okay. Now these are two completely unrelated ideas.
Monkeys and trunks. Okay. Gotcha.
Monkeys and trunks. Okay. So if I mash them together, I can create the trunk monkey.
And the trunk monkey.
Okay. Now you're laughing, right? Have you seen the Subaru Auto Group commercials?
I have not, but I'm gonna go look at it now.
Yeah, we actually have one on our page. This last week I went to the brandarchetype.com web pages on each of the archetypes just to make sure that all of our videos were connected, and I found four or five of them that the original people who posted them they were disconnected. They weren't live anymore.
Okay,
so
sure.
I put in fresh ones, and one of them I put in was a commercial for the trunk monkey.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was. Okay, so the Suburban Auto Group, this was years ago. This is probably 10 years ago now. And they made a series of these things. There are probably five or six of them. They are worth watching back to back to back. Just go to YouTube and do Trunk Monkey. Okay, now my point of this is a really unique idea. And when you watch these five or six commercials back to back, they are hilarious. And how do you come up with an idea like that? Well, pretty easy. You take two disparate, two completely disconnected, you know, interesting ideas together, but when you mash them together, you get something so completely fresh, so completely different. It's a kind of a mashup kind of thing, right?
Right.
So, you know, have you, you know, kind of put you in a pressure here, but can you come up with any mashups that you can think of on your own? And pretty much if you think of any fresh idea or anything where you said, wow, yeah, that was a really interesting idea, it's probably a mashup.
Right.
And that's kind of the point of me saying this. So what have you got?
Yeah, well, I the first thing that comes to my mind is a few episodes back, we were talking about the Hint Water commercials. So they paired flavored water with a pie eating contest, and that was really funny. Oh my gosh.
And the guy licking his face.
Oh yeah, gosh. Yeah, that was so funny. And then there's the Limu Emu. Limu, L-I-M-U, is for Liberty Mutual, and then Limu rhymes with emu. So they've got this emu in all these Liberty Mutual commercials, and I still, to me, that's like, it's funny, but it's still a far-fetched connection. I'm like, why an emu? I guess just because it rhymes, but it's...
Right.
The commercials are still kind of funny, but I don't know.
I was just going to say that almost exactly the same thing, that... When I first saw it, I'm like, yeah, okay,
that's
kind of a weenie stretch. But I'm actually I'm starting to warm up to it. It's only taken me a couple of years.
The latest one, which I think is really funny, or the latest one I've seen, is where the guy, the kind of, he looks like a 70s guy,
right.
And then there's emu, and they're like zooming, and he's going through all these filters, because that's what everybody's doing right now. We're zooming, messing around with the filters, and then he comes up with this emu filter, and then the emu starts like attacking the screen. I think that's kind of funny. But and then one of my total favorites are all the Snickers commercials. Snickers is one of my favorite Jester brands.
Hangry commercials.
Yeah,
right?
The Hangry ones. And I love the one, it's kind of old now, but it's with Betty White, And she's like in a field, like playing with some guys are playing like football, and they tackle her. They just throw Betty White in the mud, right? And it's like, oh my God, Betty White. And then she stands up and this girl comes over and she's like, hey, babe, like have a Snickers. And he eats it. And then it's a normal guy, right? Turns into a normal guy. It's not Betty White. But oh, man, I love
it. So you're basically saying Betty White and football playing abuse is a mashup.
Yeah, totally. Like, I'm like, oh, Betty White. But yeah, that's one of my favorites. Snickers has just always been funny.
too funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else do you got for the budding jesters out there? So
yeah, so... You have to be okay with being irreverent. So,
true
like,
that.
Yeah, this kind of also goes up to that. Don't tiptoe up to the line. Run screaming to the line. So, you can be sweary. You can be inappropriate. You know, you can beep out stuff. Just give the idea of what you're saying, that kind of thing, too, if you don't really want to, you know, be that blatant about it. If you don't want to have to check that little bar, you know, little button on your YouTube videos. But like, so a good example is Frank's Red Hot Sauce. They have incorporated the slogan, we put that shit on everything. I mean, they say that so much in their commercials. It's awesome. I mean, as the outlaw brand, I could make a very strong case that I don't even think shit is really a swear word. But regardless, it does. It
but
could,
and,
yeah.
And for the listeners who just heard two beeps,
right?
It's only because we're I'm sitting here laughing like Amy just said the word.
right.
Yeah.
And then even a more blatant one is the Dollar Shave Club recently came out. Yeah, and in one of their commercials, they say our blades are f***ing awesome. So there's that, right?
Yep. So I totally agree with that. That. Well, you know, I have to throw this in here. Yeah, this is a study. This is, I think there's actually multiple studies on this, but and I've seen this referenced a handful of times over the last couple of years. It shows, it's a psychology study that shows that people who swear a little bit are actually more intelligent than those people who don't. What?
Right. Well.
And so I thought when I first heard that, yeah, what do you think? I definitely have my opinions about this. And I want to throw this in because I think it's completely relevant to what we're talking about here. So what do you think?
Okay. So I'm, of course, going to agree with you because I swear. So, of course, I'm more intelligent, right? That's self-serving. But we've actually had this conversation in multiple ways in my family because my husband and I are pretty lenient when it comes to swearing with our kids. We just figured that wasn't a battle we were ever going to win. And we kind of swear. We don't go overboard. And we have our rules or some things that we don't want them to say. And we also don't allow them to swear at each other. Right.
Right.
But my daughter spent a summer in Japan. And we also had an exchange student from Japan spend a summer with us. And the Japanese culture, they do not swear. In their culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because they believe that if you swear, you're less intelligent because you couldn't come up with a better word to say. So in their culture, if you're going off swearing, whatever, they look at you as being a complete idiot. So it's
and
opposite.
They have the real intense focus on respect.
They do.
Integrity.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. But so that's opposite of what you were just saying about the studies here. And I don't know if those studies are just focused on like American culture. I mean, they probably. So we've actually had quite a few conversations about that in our family, and that comes up.
Well, here's why I think the jesters get away with it, and why I'm totally okay with a little bit of swearing in my life, because I do swear. And I think probably since I read about this study a couple of years ago, I've really made note about it, about how often I say it compared to the people who I'm actually talking to, the specific conversations. I'll be the only person who throws out, you know, the S-bomb in a conversation, you know, over the course of a 10-minute period. They won't say, they won't swear at all, you know, the people who I'm talking to.
Right.
And I'm totally okay with that. Does that make me less of a person? No, I think what is going on here, and it's really the point, is that a swear word has very specific, very powerful emotive meaning. It will get an emotional impact. It will get an emotional effect. It will get a strong reaction from just about anyone who hears it. And if that's your point, what better word would there have been to get that reaction?
Right. Right. Right.
So if I wanna, you know, say something and make it stick, I'm gonna throw out the most appropriate word, and sometimes it's a swear word. So I think that is what's going on with the Frank's Red Hot and the Dollar Shave Club.
Sure.
That they could have replaced those words with less meaningful, less impactful, and they would not have gotten the same reaction. In fact, for Frank's Red Hot to actually turn it into a slogan, I think every single one of their commercials for a while, for a couple of years, used the "we put that shit on everything" was in every single one of their commercials.
Right, right, yeah. And also I'd like to add here that, like, jester, part of being a jester is being clever. So the more clever you can be with swear words, like you said, to make a point is awesome. Just to swear for swear's sake is not what the point we're making here. Like, and of course you can be a jester without swearing as well. It doesn't have to be part of your brand. But I don't know, like, another part of the conversation we have in our family is being really clever and intelligent with swear words, not just saying the F word all over the place just because you can and, you know, like you're 16 years old. I mean, I went skiing last weekend and I was on a chairlift and I was in front of some teenagers and it was just like every other word out of their mouth was the F word. And it was like, guys, like, I mean, and I wasn't offended. I was just like, they kind of sounded like idiots. Like,
yeah, well, because, you know? they're not doing it to enhance their communication. Yeah. They're doing it because they're being crass.
Or it was almost like they were using that word like you would use like. Right? So, but yeah, and I think that's kind of a teenager-y thing to do sometimes too, get it out of your system, right? But yeah, really interesting conversation, swear words. It's definitely interesting.
Well, I will definitely be beeping out those words just for the sake of family. Final family friendliness. Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Right, right. Okay.
So what else we got?
I think that it's okay to like poke fun at other people as a jester in a fun way. And it's definitely okay to poke fun at yourself. But there's a difference between poking fun at other people and being offensive. So again, there's that always being aware of that line, right?
Yeah, I agree with that too. Yeah.
So one more point that I want to make about the archetypes is, and this goes back to the very first point that you made, Kevin, about being able to fully embrace the archetype that you choose. If you are in any way worried about ever offending somebody or not being, you know, for everybody or everybody's cup of tea, then you really have to think about it, because the jester, the outlaw, the ruler, maybe in some instances the hero, are not going to be for everybody. And they do go right up to that line, right? And they're going to be bolder, more energetic, more brash. And you have to be comfortable with not being everybody's cup of tea. And so if you're not comfortable with that as a business or personally, and you're not going to be able to fully embrace that, which is fair, some people aren't, then you really might want to consider maybe like the mother or the innocent or something that, you know, is not so in your face like the jester.
But even that suggestion implies that there's risk to going up to that edge. And I don't think that that's necessarily, I want to clarify what you just said.
Sure.
So that people don't misunderstand what you said, because I agree with what you said. But going up to the edge is not the risk. The risk is not embracing a single idea. Okay, so
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's do a food analogy. Okay. Right. I have a choice between a raging hot, super spicy Indian garlic chutney, you know, kind of cumin thing, right? And it's just blazing hot. Or I could just have, you know, hamburger helper.
Right.
Okay, or vanilla ice cream. Right,
sure.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with either one of them. But, you know, which one is going to really stand out in your mind at the end of the meal or a week later?
And which one, unless you're lactose intolerant with vanilla ice cream, which one is going to be more of a risk to eat, right?
That is absolutely right. Well, and there's the point is, you know, a year later, which one are you going to remember?
Yeah, not you that, know? You know.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we are trying as businesses to not create vanilla marketing and vanilla brands, because that's death. That is non-differentiation. That is being unable to separate ourselves away from the masses of competitors that are out there. And who wants that, right?
Right.
I want to be the garlic chutney, dang it.
Right.
And so regardless of the archetype, but especially the jester, you can fall down on this point, right? So I wholeheartedly agree with you that this whole idea of framing your mind that it's less risky to fully adopt it than it is to try to back off on it.
Right.
So you have to be ruthlessly funny, if you're going to pick this archetype. And some people aren't able to do that. Some people, if you have to struggle to come up with the word zippy instead of the word fast.
Right.
If that's a struggle for you, maybe embracing this idea is too much of a stretch for you. You know, you have to relish the idea, even if you struggle with it, the process of coming up with that word. But when you do find the word, you just like, you love it. It is you. It's like, oh yeah, that's a way better word. Then, okay, maybe you can be the jester, right? But you have to be ruthlessly funny, right? So have you ever seen... And I have two ideas here I want to throw at you. So have you ever seen a commercial? I think I've thrown this one out here before. You're watching a commercial and, you know, you're sitting there either by yourself or, you know, a couple of your family members are in the room and you're just kind of glued to the tube. And a commercial comes on and it's kind of funny and everybody's like,
that was right. It. Yeah, it's like I think this is supposed to be funny. Maybe.
Yeah, and then
funny.
Afterwards you realize it was the laugh track that they queued up that actually kind of prompted you when and how much to laugh.
Right.
And you think about it, hindsight, it really wasn't that funny. Okay, that is a bad jester commercial. They're using humor as a tactic, but they're doing it in such a poor way that it really wasn't even truly funny, right? So they're trying to tactically say, hey, you know, we should try one of these funny commercials because, you know, Aflac and Geico, they really seem to do a great job with that.
Or if your joke has to be explained. You know, that's the other thing. Like,
right.
There was it's like if you turn to the person next to you and be like, I don't get it. What was that? Why was that funny? I don't get it. Like that's right. Also not good either.
Okay, so the other idea that kind of popped in my head earlier when you were talking about, you know, doing things that really, really, really make you stand out and being okay with that to the point where it's offensive to people. When you were talking about being offensive to people.
Right.
Oh, so I've got a story. This is, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. There was a very large, it was a statewide business convention in New Hampshire. And we were one of the three key sponsors of the event. And because of that, we got this, you know, big, I think it was a, like 15 foot by 15 foot booth right in the middle of the floor. And we created this, it was 10 foot high and 10 foot wide. It was a booth backdrop, right? But it was a close up of a girl's face. I mean, it was the entire thing, 10 feet tall face. And she had her finger stuck up her nose right up to like her second knuckle. Okay, it was like, whoa, what is...
Right.
Okay, and the caption of it was, you won't find a great brand in there.
Nice.
Okay, no. Yes, it was kind of gross. Like, what the... And we had... And there's probably 8,000 to 10,000 people per day over a three-day period coming to this event, right?
I'm sure they remembered it.
Well, and that we had three or four people come up and say, that's really offensive.
Right.
three people out of 30 or 40,000 people. Yeah. Okay. I'm okay with that ratio.
Right. Yeah.
And every comment that I made to each one of those people who felt compelled to come up to me and tell me how offensive it was, I asked them, a week from now, out of the 400 booths in this room, which one are you going to remember?
Exactly. Yep.
Right. And it's like, okay, if you want to hire an agency that is really, really creative, are they going to have pictures of girls sticking their fingers up their nose for your stuff? No, but they're definitely going to be creative.
Right.
Yeah. Which is really kind of the point. And we went way over the top on that specific piece because we wanted to make that point.
And yeah, absolutely.
It worked fabulously.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So yeah, it's sometimes it is tough being a jester, and sometimes you you're a little afraid.
So. Yeah, but if you're not a little afraid, then you're not doing it right, probably, right?
Yeah. So the hardest thing I ever did was the very first time that we made the decision to adopt the jester archetype, and we said, okay, we're diving into this head first, you know, as an agency. We are now going to embrace this as opposed to the approach that we were taking before, which was really the same as everybody else. We weren't really taking an archetype approach. This was very early in the days when we were talking about archetypes as a strategy. And so I told all of my employees, I said, okay, everybody go get your business cards. And so everybody went back to their offices, came back, got their business cards, walked around with a trash can, and had everybody throw their business cards away. And they're like, what is up with this? I said, okay, by tomorrow, I want you to each come up with a new job title. And the only rule is it can't be boring. It can't be traditional. It needs to be jester. And that was our very first step of becoming jesters.
That's so cool, though. Yeah. It's a good way to embrace it.
So my title, and the name of the agency at the time was Acorn Creative. And my new title was the Chief Nut.
Of course it was.
Of course, the Chief. And so, and we had like the Word Wrangler and the Captain of the Crayons and the Pixel Princess. And
That's great.
It was a lot of fun coming up with the new titles. But let me tell you, the very first time of sending an email with that title in my signature line, the Chief Nut, do I really want to do this?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
It was definitely a good move.
That's great. And now of Flock Marketing, you're the Chief Peep. I like
the
that
Chief
too.
Peep.
Yeah.
That's well, continuing on.
Yeah. So with ZD Media being the outlaw, my job title is the Word Slayer. And I use it all the time. And I actually have it on my name tag that I use when I go to networking things. I put it on everything. And I get nothing but positiveness from that. People are like, oh, that's so great. That's amazing. And they remember it. And I've had people, like, I've gone back to network events and they'll be like, hey, there's the Word Slayer. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, they might not remember my name, Amy, but they remember me as the Word Slayer. It's cool. And when I'm helping people do their LinkedIn profiles and update things like that, I'm always like, of course, on brand, I wouldn't suggest them being a jester if they weren't jester, but I'm like, you know, you don't have to have a boring job title. Your job title should reflect your archetype, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do, yeah.
We were in the process of getting a line of credit for Acorn Creative. This was, you know, a month or two after we had got our new titles. Yep. And the bank, the person who was auditing the documentation to make sure everything was in order, called me and said, hey, we need to get your real title. I'm like, I gave you my real title. He goes, no, you put down Chief Nut here. We need to know what your real title is. I'm like, that is my real title. Right. I wasn't gonna budge on this.
Of course you weren't. No.
And he goes, well, I'm just not sure if we can take this seriously. I'm like, well, tell you what, if you are so serious about that title as to not give me a loan for a creative agency like ours, then maybe we're not a good fit for you and we'll have to take our business elsewhere.
Nice. Awesome.
It's like, oh, okay, we'll get back with you.
Right. Well, they made an exception, yeah. I bet.
Yes, they did. Well, they'd never been confronted with that. And how, like, really? This is a real serious business? Can we do business with people who behave this way?
Kevin, that guy is probably still telling that story over cocktails.
This guy years ago, oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh my God, he was so crazy.
so funny. Okay, great. Well, we hope we've inspired people to be more gestury and talked about the ideas of how to get there and the words to use and the ideas to adopt. And I know, Amy, you were asking me for a little bit of input on one of your clients to, you know, infuse a little bit of gesturiness in there. I'm looking forward to that.
So, yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to your insight on that for sure.
Yeah. So why don't you give us a wrap up?
All right. If you've got questions, of course, call us, reach out to us. If you're trying to be the jester and you have any questions for us, please reach out. Or, you know, reach out to Kevin specifically. I'm sure he'll love to chat your ear off about jester all day long. And you'll probably learn some new really good jokes in the process.
And some new words.
Yeah, new words. Absolutely. Some you have to beat. Maybe some you don't. and if you're interested in the word list for the archetype of the jester, give us a call. We can provide that for you for $29.95. And as always, please follow us on all the social media channels at Brand Archetypes. And next week, and I'm looking forward to next week, we are interviewing another one of my clients, the More Health and Healing Chiropractors, who adopted a very fascinating and interesting archetype. So I'm looking forward to next week's show.
Okay. Well, Amy, you have a zippy week.
Yes, you too. Kerpow. See you later.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.